Blog Talk Radio.
There is a watchman on the wall, bringing forth the written word of God to one and all. Are you getting ready? Will you stand or will you fall? Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the
Rise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. A new day has dawned. All over the earth, men and women are arising. It's time for the sons of God to awake. It is a day of justice, recompense, restoration, revival, and resurrection power.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Vincent Xavier, pastor of New Wine Ministries. I believe we're going to have a wonderful broadcast today, very informative. I want to welcome everybody to our 1 hour and 30 minutes. We're going to extend our time today for a number of different reasons, and I'm going to say some things right up front that I think will be encouragement for how we're going to begin our broadcast today. Again, this is not plagiarizing what anybody else has said or what we have heard or copying what other people have told us about. Last night, I got a very interesting download in my spirit, and I want to share it with you. And it was simply I was looking at the name of the disease, the COVID-19 coronavirus. And all of a sudden, I saw the COVID-19 in reverse, and I saw COVID-91. Immediately after thinking that in my mind, I turned the news on, and yesterday, a Mercy ship that left Virginia some time ago arrived in the New York Harbor, and it was docking in Pier 91. Pier 91. And immediately, two witnesses back-to-back, I started thinking, again, this is the time that I believe God is saying, enter into the Psalm 91 reality. COVID-19 in reverse is 91. This ship, Mercy ship, that pulled into the harbor, Pier 91. This is all verified and factual. So I saw that yesterday, and I knew that we needed to have a Bible study today in Psalm 91. I also am going to be waiting for a phone call from a very dear friend of mine in Indiana that's going to be sharing on the broadcast today. But I'm going to begin in Psalm 91 reading the scripture. So if you would like to join me, I appreciate you joining in. And before I do, I'm going to repeat what I said, because there are people that will be getting on board here in just a little bit, and people need to hear what was just said because I think it's important. But also, I'm going to be playing a brief video for you of a man by the name of David Wilcock. He's a best-selling author on the New York Times twice. He's written best-selling books, and he's very much involved in television and radio and speaking. And he's going to share something with us that I think is very interesting, if nothing less, a confirmation, again, of what was said yesterday when I was telling you about my friend Daryl, who told us on Sunday that the next step, he's the one that said back in September that there was going to be a plague of some sort breakout, and it did. So Sunday he told us about the communications being shut down, the internet and the cell phone. Well, David Wilcock has got something to say about that. We received it this morning, and I want you to hear it. So I'll get into all of that. I've extended the broadcast today for an hour and 30 minutes. But first, let's get into our Bible study, okay? So here we go. We're going to go into Psalm 91, verse 1. And what I'm going to do is go slow and purposeful. And I know you probably heard it, and some of you could probably share this better than I can. But together, I think we need to build up our faith, because faith comes by hearing and hearing the Word of God. Psalm 91, verse 1. He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. So let's look at it. He that dwells, all right? You and I could be the he, she, okay? But the word dwells is the yashav, the yashav. And that word yashav, which is actually in Hebrew yashab, is a primitive root, properly means to sit down. It has in the definition specifically as judge, or one that would sit down in ambush or in quiet. He who sits down in quiet. To dwell means to remain. It means to settle. It literally means to marry, M-A-R-R-Y. So it's talking about covenant relationship, okay? Getting connected. It also means continue. So he that continues, he that settles, he that remains, he that sits down in quiet. It also means to endure. He who endures, or who is established. He who habitates. This is all the definition of the word dwelleth. He that tarries. All right, and that's the final one. It literally, in the definition, is to sit down. So he that dwells, where? In the secret. In the secret. Now, the word secret is the sather and or sather. And the sather literally means a cover. So whoever sits or dwells in the cover or the covering or the covert or the hiding place or the place of protection, okay, that's all the Hebrew word sather, okay, a hiding, secret, hidden, the covert of the mountain, the covert of the mountain. So who dwells, sits down in the covert of the mountain, in the shelter, in the secret place of the Most High. We know who the Most High is. That's our Father, God, shall abide. All right, and here's the important part. The important part is abiding, and that's the word loon, and it means to stay permanently. The word abide here in the Hebrew, loon, is to stay permanently. Okay? To continue, to lie all night. But I think the most important part of this definition is to, again, to stay permanently. So, again, he that dwells, sits down in the protective hedge, in the covert of the mountain, in the secret place of the Most High, shall abide, shall remain permanently, or abide permanently, stay permanently, where? Shall abide under the shadow. Under the shadow. That is the sail. T-S-A-L in the Hebrew. The sail. And it means defense. That's what the word means. Shall abide under the shadow is in the defense. How many of you believe that God is your defense? He's your protection. Okay? And it goes on to say that he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the protection, the defense of the Almighty. We know who the Almighty is. That is God, our Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, Holy Spirit, the Trinity, the deity. Okay, this is Almighty God. This is the Most High. And then after this statement about dwelling, now, how do you do that in your own life? What does that actually mean? Because we're going to need this promise. God is communicating to it and communicating to us. And for those of you just joining in, let me repeat for the second time that last night, the Mercy ship that left Virginia arrived in the New York Harbor and was docked at Pier 91. And the COVID-19 reversed is the COVID-91. We saw these things last night by the Spirit of God. He graced us with that. So he's given a witness to talk about Psalm 91. This is important because if God is so definite about bringing Psalm 91 to his people, it means the reality of the other side is going to happen. Everything this Psalm 91 actually says. But he's telling us that our job is to sit down quietly in the secret place. All right. Now, I will say of the Lord, I will say, said the psalmist, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge. And the word refuge there is the makasa, and it means a shelter. He is my hope. He is my trust, is what the definition is. He is my shelter. He is my hope. He is my trust. The Lord is my shelter. The Lord is my refuge. And so the psalmist goes on to say, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. So he's my hope, he's my trust, he's my shelter, and he's also the matsud, the Hebrew word matsud. He is my fortress. And that word there literally means my castle, defense, my strong place. So the Lord is our castle. The Lord is our defense. We dwell in the castle of the Lord. Imagine that. Get this imagery. You are in the castle. The Lord is your hope. The Lord is your trust. And this is what God is telling us again and again. The Lord is my fortress and the Lord is my shelter. Okay? He's my refuge. He's my fortress. My God, in him will I trust. The word trust there is the batak. Okay, the batak. And that batak literally means to hide for refuge, to be confident or sure, to trust, to be bold in your confidence. Watch this now. See, there's a difference of being proud, arrogant, and cavalier about an issue. It's a razor's edge, as my brother told me the other day. There's a razor's edge between confidence and pride. But here, the definition, that in him will I trust, in him will I be confidently bold, confidently secure, confidently careless. I will put confidence and hope in him. All right, so this is the relationship that the writer had. There is a revelation that is for this moment in time. It's all around us. Confident boldness. All right, I will say of the Lord again in verse 2, he is my refuge, he is my fortress, my God. In him will I be confident, I will be bold, I will be trusting, in him I will trust. Verse 3, surely, surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler. So surely he shall, not Saul is the Hebrew word. And it means to snatch, to preserve, to pluck, to rescue, to recover. So surely he shall deliver you. okay, keep you out, deliver you from the snare, from the snare. That's the pak in the Hebrew, the pak. That is simply a trap, a bird trap of calamities, plots, source or agent of calamity. So he will surely deliver you from the plots of the enemy, the source or the agent of calamity, the trap, the snare, okay? He promises this, surely he shall deliver you from the snare of who? The fowler, the Yakush, the Yakush. And what is the Yakush? It literally means entangled. A snarer, a fowler. Now, I want to go into the deeper part, the bait layer. Who's the bait layer? That's a good definition right there. It's the fowler, the trapper, the bait layer. But I want to go just a little bit deeper into the Yakush, and it's the Yakosh. And what the Yakosh means, to ensnare by luring or enticing into a trap, enticing into fear, luring into panic, whatever. This is the Yakosh and the Yakush. Now, surely he shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler, the bait layer, the snarer, and he will deliver you from the noisome pestilence. The word noisome there is the hava, hava. And the word hava literally means ruin, the ruinous or calamity, the mischievous, naughtiness, the perverse thing, the wickedness. All right, so he's going to deliver you from the naughty, wicked, perverse, what? Pestilence. And what is that word pestilence? That's the dabir, the dabir. And that dabir means plague, moraine, cattle disease, cattle plague. It also means a destruction or death. A destruction or death. You see it all around you, right? Psalm 91. Again, for those of you just joining, last night the Lord showed something about COVID-19. If you turn it around, it's 91. At the same moment he revealed that and just put the thought in my brain, that's how he works with me, I turned on Fox News and there was the big Mercy ship coming out of Virginia, and it was making its way into the harbor of New York and was docking at Pier 91. So God is saying, get this in your spirit about Psalm 91. So far, here's what we've read. Psalm 91, 1, 2, and 3. He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High, he who abides, he who sits down quietly in rest in this hidden covert of the Lord, of the Most High, shall remain, shall continue under the defense of the Almighty. Verse 2, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge, he's my shelter, my defense, he's my fortress, my castle, my God, in him will I confidently be bold and very courageous and even careless in him. I don't care about what's going on out there. I could actually be free of care of what everybody's concerned about because I'm in the castle. Isn't that awesome? I'm in the castle. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare, the trap of the trap layer. That's Satan, the one who lures us into fear and panic and fret, okay? And this isn't my word. This is the word of God. Everybody's talking about Psalm 91, so let's understand it. We're not ignoring. We just, let's get this in our spirit. There is a carelessness for those who are living in the castle of God. That is who we are in. We are in him. He is our defense. He's our castle, and he's going to deliver us from the noisome pestilence, this nasty destruction. All right, verse 4, let's go into it. He shall cover you with his feathers. And I know we know what it means basically, but the Hebrew for cover is the sakak, and it means entwine as a screen. So he shall fence you in. It means to cover over or to protect. He shall defend you. He will hedge you in. He will shut you up. And that's what it's saying. Shut up like in a hedge. He shall cover, fence you in with his feathers. With his feathers. That's the evra. And that means his pinions or his wings. His wings. You got to love that. A wing of a feather. It literally gets into definition such as that of the eagle. Eagle's wings. Eagle's wings. What's taking the woman into the wilderness? The wings of an eagle. The wings of an eagle. Revelation 12 is going to take her into the wilderness. Okay? So he's going to fence us in. He's going to cover us with his feathers. He's going to cover us with his feathers, his eagle's wings, which, by the way, 5779, 5780, there's something definite about those Hebrew numbers in the year that we're in right now. We can talk about that later. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. The wings there is the kanaf. And this is interesting. The word kanaf means extremity. It also means of a bird or army. He's going to hedge you in, protect you with an army. His wings represent a garment or bed clothing, a flap, a quarter, a pinnacle. It talks about the overspreading. And again, this wing is from the covering. The covering. That's awesome that the kanaf is talking about being protected by an army. Praise God for the army of the Lord, right? So he shall cover thee with his feathers, under his wings shall you what? There's that word again, trust. It's a little bit different word than in him will I trust in verse 2. This is shalt thou trust or kasa. This word actually means to flee for protection. To flee for protection, okay? To have hope, to make refuge, and to put in trust. Just adds that flee for protection. Come out of her, my people. Flee to the mountains. You know all these phrases from the Master, the Lord Jesus. And then we have here in verse 4, he shall cover you with his feathers. Under his wings shall you trust. His truth shall be your shield. This is imperative. His truth. What is that? That is the emeth. And what it means is his stability, stability, trustworthiness, the assurity, established faithfulness in his faithfulness, in his establishment, is assurity in him, in his trustworthiness, in his stability. The word commotions, we've been talking about it for a while when Jesus said there'll be wars and commotions. Commotions means instability. And so what you're seeing again is the instability of the times we're living in. And in him, there is stability. Very clear, right? Now, we go on. His truth, his stability, his assurance, his faithfulness shall be your shield. Your shield. And that is the sinah. Sinah. And that shield means a hook, also a large shield, as if guarding. Awesome. But it's this piercing hook or a barb, a large shield. All right, so this trust in him, his truth, will be your shield and your buckler. The word buckler is the sokera. The sokera, and that word simply means, again, something surrounding the person, a shield. So the buckler is something that's surrounding, defending, tower, a fortress. That's what the Hebrew is. Verse 5. Now we're going to go a little deeper into this. Psalm 91, verse 5. For you, those of you tuning in, we've taken an extra 30 minutes today. We're going to be on for an hour and a half. I just felt very compelled because COVID-19 reversed is 91. I saw that last night. Then immediately after, I saw the Mercy ship coming out of Virginia into the New York Harbor being docked in Pier 91. So I just felt we needed to get through this Psalm 91. Everybody's talking about it. And then we're going to have some phone calls coming in. A very dear friend of mine is going to be calling in, hopefully from Indiana. A video we're going to be playing out of a gentleman who's a two-time, he's a great writer. I don't know what they call it again. He has a best-selling book on in the New York Times and all that stuff. We're going to hear from him, and we'll go a little deeper here. But here it is in verse 5, okay? Here's the times we are in. So God has declared his protection. That's what the first four verses were. It's all about if we sit down in quiet trust, we're going to remain through what's going on because we're going to have a supernatural protection, right? Verse 5, when we do that, when we're trusting, when we're in, when we're under the cover and all these things, you shall not be afraid. You shall not be afraid, verse 5. And that is the word Yahweh, or to be put in fear. You will not be affrighted. You will not be in any kind of dread. You shall not be afraid. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror. All right, here it is. This is the pakad, the terror, the dread. It literally means the sudden alarm. How this is so awesome. When should we have been dwelling in the secret place of the Most High? When should we have been operating in the Psalm 91 promises all along? So when sudden alarm comes, we're not afraid. And has that been your reality? You're not afraid. You're trusting. Why? Because you learned Psalm 91 a long time ago and you made it your reality. So the object feared, you're not going to be afraid of the object feared, coronavirus, 3 days of darkness that are coming, plagues. You're not going to be afraid of the object feared. You're not going to have sudden alarm. You're not going to have the feeling of dread or terror. Okay, so you won't be afraid when the terror for the terror by night, nor will you be afraid for the arrow that flies by day. The arrow is the katz or the ketz, and that means a piercer. An arrow, a wound, okay, of God. It's a thunderbolt. It's the shaft of a spear, the archer, the arrow, the dart, the shaft, the wound. And so you will not be afraid of the arrow, the piercing thing, right? You will not be afraid for the arrow that flies by day. It flies by day. It oofs. It literally is with wings or obscurity. Okay, the word fly there is to brandish. It's from the darkness of swooning. All right, so it's flying by day. Okay, by day. Nor, in verse 6, shall we be afraid of the pestilence. The word pestilence there is the davir again. We've read that. It's in the sense of destroying. It is the moraine. It is destruction. It is plague. You're going to see it. Why? Because the word of God says we are. All right. And so nor for the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor for the destruction. All right. The destruction, ketev. I want to hurry this up a little bit. And this is talking about the ruin, the destroying, the destruction, the storm causing destruction, pestilence, same meaning. And where does this go? It's a destruction that wastes at noonday. The word waste there is the shud, and it means literally to swell up, to devastate, to devastate. God's warning us that this is coming. And the last verse I want to read for today is verse 7. 1,000 shall fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. All right. So I believe Psalm 91 verses 1 to 7 are enough to get us positioned properly for the times that we are in right now. And I think that's a pretty decent way to start the broadcast. What I'd like to do right now is just bring up a few more points, a few more comments. And there's a gentleman that's talking about 3 days of darkness that are coming. We talked about it yesterday. I thought, again, a confirmation. But there's nobody I know that can actually address this issue better than my friend and my guest that's going to join me right now on the air. And I want to welcome to the broadcast on The Watchman today, a true watchman. Don is calling in from the great state of Indiana. And let me say good morning to him. Brother Don, good morning. God bless you, sir. How are you today?
Oh, just fine, Pastor. How are you?
I'm doing very good. It's great to hear your voice again on the Watchman radio broadcast. I appreciate you. I thank you. You were one of those first individuals to help get the Omega Radio up and running. It's been a long time since we've heard of you. There's a lot that has happened and transpired. Tell us what's going on in your heart and mind concerning the things we're looking at right now.
Can you hear me okay?
I can. I hear you fine. I'll turn you up for our audience. We're good now.
Okay. Well, what should we? How do we start? What do we say?
Exactly.
There's so much. Right now, I'm sitting. I'm at work. I work security at a hospital. I'm sitting parked right next to a COVID-19 testing station. I think we've tested over 500 people in the last week. It's a drive-up thing where you drive up and they come out dressed in these biological moon suits, and you don't even have to get out of your car. And then after they run those big long Q-tips up your nose and stick them into a test tube, then they tell you to drive away and we'll call you if you have it. We don't want you here. So the place is kind of abandoned right now, and no visiting anywhere, no matter what. And to enter the hospital, you have to be wearing a full face mask, and you're not allowed to take it off unless you're eating. So there's my own personal thoughts. Number one, I struggle to realize the seriousness of this as far as it being anything other than any other flu. But evidently, the only thing I can see is a fast spreader. I know we have it in all the county jails now and have since January. And of course, it was never called COVID-19. It was, you know, if you're in a county jail, you're just going to lay there. And that is it. Hold on just a second, Pastor.
Sure. All right, ladies and gentlemen, you're listening right now to Brother Don. He's calling in from Indiana. He has been a military veteran. He has served in Vietnam. He's been a police officer. He's been in the know for a very long time. He's working security right now, and that's what we're hearing in the background as we'll see where things go at this point. But Don has been very much involved in listening to what's going on across the country. A lot of intel going on from his military friends, from police sources, et cetera, et cetera. Don, how are we doing right now?
Real good. I'm clear.
Okay.
So I know we've tested everyone that comes in the hospital. We test them for temperature. And I guess anything over 101 or 101 and above, then they're turned away. Now, interestingly enough, out of the 800-900 people that have been tested that I'm aware of that come into the hospital, temperatures zero. And that those are visitors. It's a random sampling. So I don't know. It's like something's going on here that as far as what I can see and observe, it's not much of a thing at all. Now, I know we have right now we have 12 patients that have or suspect to have COVID-19 in the ICU unit here. 8 of them are confirmed, 4 of them are not. And the day before yesterday, 2 of them died. and they were in their late 70s and early 80s. But then again, flu is a killer of elderly people every year. So I question exactly what this crisis is being used for, and I'm hearing many, many things, including a $2 trillion bailout, all of which only 28% of it is ever going to see the hands of the American people. But we know what happened in 2008 when the banks were bailed out, and most of this money, my understanding, is going to the banks and even to foreign interests. So what it does look to me personally is a gigantic reset of the system, probably onto digital credit or digital debit-type cards away from cash.
Hey, Don, let me just ask you this question real quick. Maybe this is going to, because you're moving in that direction. Let me just share something that you wrote to me last night when I was in conversation with you. I had asked you a question because it came to my mind. Is it possible that the purpose for separating people into groups of 10 to be quarantined is actually a deterrent to what our government knows will be a nuclear strike against certain cities or some form of terrorism? You wrote back to me and said, at this time, sleeper cells would have a golden time to activate. I keep thinking that the American conspirators that authored and covered 9/11 are still in government or positions of power, totally unchallenged and unpunished. That being said, one has to realize that they are still moving on the destruction of the Constitution and the American people, especially the people of the Lord. Chaos is the umbrella under which they move. They have accomplished much in the last month. They absolutely will not stop, and they are really going for it now. April will be their death blow, and they will deliver God's judgment. I feel that the Lord has stepped aside and forsaken the American people who have grown mad upon their idols. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The precedents of his actions are firmly documented and recorded in biblical history. There is no mystery here. I sense that his loving patience and grace is at an end. He is just, and the blood of 80 million innocents are crying out to him as the demons of perversion push man even closer to God's wrath and to the wrath of God. I sense a most bitter harvest is now upon the United States. They should have long ago heeded their prophets and watchmen. They did not. Yeah, that was an intense writing from you last night, and I knew there was truth in it, and it's been the cry of the Spirit for quite some time. So, you know, here we are. We're a day away from April. There's a tremendous amount of conversation about the month of April going on, and you are sensing a bitter harvest in this country. Can you speak into that just a little deeper?
I wish I could see it another way. I really do. I've seen it coming, just as you've seen it coming. A man is getting worse and not better. We're right on the crux of seeing God's judgment delivered. Now, the first judgment God issues to his people is he allows them to be overtaken and overcome by their enemies. Right now, there are many enemies within the borders of the United States, many of them in high office. They're communist socialists, they're militant Muslims, which I don't think there's any other type really. All of them are descending and have been descending on the United States in order to destroy the United States. This is no mystery. There's no secret to this. The United Nations, by their documents that they composed in the 60s, report from Iron Mountain is one of them, outlines exactly how they're going to destroy the United States, take it down, and replace it with world government. I think it's been used to put in place world government. And now that it's fulfilled its mission, I believe that the objective now is to destroy the United States, its constitutional form of government, which has been under severe attack, and especially the American people. Because the American people are of no use to the New World Order. They believe in things that the New World Order does not believe in, which is freedom, the worship of God. Everything that the New World Order stands for, the American people do not represent as a whole. And that has to be taken out. The underpinnings of that have been taken out through the educational systems, through the children. And let's face it, the television and the media has been instrumental in brainwashing the American people, turning them into sheeple and non-thinking people on the way to the slaughterhouse. And you're going to see a tremendous slaughter in this country, in the United States, among its people. It's simply a question of tactics now. This virus could very well be used to soften up the American people, herd them together, like you stated, in small groups to control them better. If this thing that I keep hearing about in April in reference to the 11 days of darkness, when I first heard about this, I sat back and I analyzed it, but then I realized that we have had a Grid X1 and Grid X2 military exercises on our grid system within the last couple of years that was designed to take out, through cyber means, our national grid. In other words, plunge a country into darkness. And the key thing to this that I was paying attention to is, number one, why would you do that? Why would the military practice that? And number two, why would you invite Russian and Chinese observers in to observe that exercise to where they could see exactly how we would take down our grid? To me, it all comes down to treason. The individuals that were placed in position long ago. Now let's start. You could say with Clinton, but definitely Bush's, 9-1-1, Obama's, delivered us completely up to our enemies. And I believe that Obama was definitely a disciple of destroying the United States and its present system. Now, he could have done that for the New World Order. He could have done that in the name of Islam. But it all comes down to the same thing. Our enemies have destroyed us, have descended upon us. They've prepped us, and now they're making their moves to finish off the United States. Where it's going to go after that, here we are, martial law. You can call it anything you want to call it. But right now we are in a state of martial law. When the government tells you you have to stay in your home, you can't come out, you're going to be arrested, and it starts to encircle and control every aspect of your life, you're under martial law. Now, I know right now, the 25th, 26th, I just observed on a video over 100 tanks being brought into Los Angeles. Could only be used for one thing. Now, I know there's going to be a lot of violence in Los Angeles because of all the gang activity and all the people willing to fight. But that's pretty much the same for all the cities. So I think it's all going to start locking down the cities with a pretext of a virus. And then it's just going to morph into what they want it to, which is to complete control of the American people militarily. And then very well could be that sleeper cells are going to emerge. They're going to create even more terror. And after the sleeper cells are done, military occupation, and I suspect with Chinese and Russian troops. Obama, before he left office, he got Putin to commit 20,000 U.S. or Russian combat troops to the United States in case of what he called an event. Well, here we are. This is the event. So this is all planned. There's nothing happening here by accident. And we're all going to have to go through it. And hopefully people, I know you've prepared. I know the people on the ark are prepared. I know you could see it coming a long time ago because you're a watchman and you're a true disciple of Jesus Christ. And the Holy Spirit has told you, basically, dropped into your spirit exactly what's going to happen. And now here we are. And we're going to witness unimaginable things. Unimaginable.
Donna, you know what's interesting is you bring the biblicity to this right now. We bring the spiritual reality to what you're saying, because alone by what you're saying from a military standpoint, from being a police officer, from being in the intel, you know, forum, if you will, the spiritual reality is we keep hearing the president of the United States echoing what Isaiah 47:11 said. And again, I only bring this up for people to understand that let's bring in the spiritual reality to what's being said. Isaiah 47:11 was read on the airwaves the day before the U.S. ever even started talking about the coronavirus. And that said, evil is coming, and evil is coming, and you will not know where it's coming from. And you will not be able to put it off, and it will produce a disaster. So the president keeps saying things like, man, this thing came out of nowhere. We don't know where it came from. Now he's saying it's China, of course. But there was this speculation. Where did this come from? And then he wanted this to end by April 15th. He wanted to put it off, and now it's extended. They can't put it off, which tells me that what you're saying is right now on track, high velocity, rumbling down the train tracks, that it's coming and it's going to produce a disaster, because that word of God and the Spirit of God is confirming what you are saying. And it is coming. And what I find amazing also are these 3 days of darkness are coming at a time just before Passover. Don, I mean, there were 3 days of darkness during the Passover scenario. We also have locust plagues. We have viruses. We have all these things going on around the world right now. Now, 3 days of darkness are being forecasted. This is all so eerily close to Passover, which means there will be a people going out into the wilderness. And people need to prepare to go out into the wilderness, whatever that is. And what an amazing moment of time when we see these things coming to pass.
Right. And things that basically Christians especially sort of prepared for this, but I know that most of them didn't. And that's pretty sad.
Having a hard time hearing you, Don, right now. We're not getting you through clear.
Okay, let me call back in, okay?
You got it. All right. Bye-bye.
Okay,
so
thanks.
We'll get that call going back here in just a moment from Don. He's calling in from Indiana. We'll take that call in just a moment. So, this is very interesting. Passover, 3 days of darkness, going into the wilderness. And here's something that I want to say as well that I think is worthy of note. We have been talking for a very long time about the doctrine of the pre-tribulational rapture. And you have to imagine right now that men and women of God who believe in Jesus Christ, but have partaken and have swallowed this doctrine of pre-tribulational rapture, they've got to be thinking right now, man, the rapture is ready to happen at any moment right now. They are thinking the rapture is on the way, right? And what is the delusion, the deception, the bewilderment that is going to happen to millions of our brothers and sisters? I mean, there are brothers and sisters who believe in Jesus but do believe in the preacher rapture that are sitting here, and this thing is coming down like a freight train. I mean, it's like a locomotive, and they would have thought by now they wouldn't be here for this. We're not going to be here for this. We're not going to be here for this. And the more this thing goes down, they are here, and the bewilderment begins to settle in. And we who have been trained in the scriptures by the Holy Spirit, not by denominational influences or tunnel vision into the Bible through doctrine indoctrination, that had no bearing, it had no foundation, it had no base. We need to help them when this time comes. And I do believe these are the days we're in right now. So we're in this time of going into the wilderness. We're in a time where now we're hearing the days of darkness. And well, Donna's going to be making his way back into the broadcast. Let me share with you for just a moment a video coming from David Wilcock. This is what he said. He's a New York Times best-selling author twice with his books. He's been on the History Channel and different places. Here is a little soundbite, just a little bit, of what he is saying today.
And I will just point out to you to start with that we have received new briefings. Those briefings are very amazing. So I'm going to cut to the chase, stop the suspense right off the bat, and say that we have gotten, we heard it years ago, and I had forgotten about this. Is there a problem? Okay. I'm very concerned about the way this is working. It's very difficult to get a live stream to work, as it turns out. Anyway, the briefing is that we are going to get 3 days without internet and without telephone. You will be able to call 911. You will be able to call other emergency services. You will not be able to use the internet. It will slow to a crawl, or maybe not even. You might be able to get your email. I don't know if you're going to be able to text people or not. But basically, it's a shutdown of the phone and the internet. And that's for 3 days. We have 4 different sources that are telling us this. And one of those 4 sources has 5 different independent sources that told him this. The timing that we're getting on when this is going to happen is anywhere from today or tomorrow. There's another window that suggests, and this is from a State Department source, the latest one that I just got, that it could be before, the 3 days could be before Good Friday. But during those 3 days, there's going to be the arrest of the bad guys. And so this is a very...
All right, I want to stop right there for just a moment. Again, this is David Wilcock talking about the 3 days of darkness. They're getting people talking about this constantly. And you have to stop and think and ask yourself this question. And remember, the backdrop, the foundation of our conversation today is Psalm 91. You've got to get steady there so you don't get afraid. You don't panic from what you're hearing. But how will you do? And I don't believe in 3 days alone. I know that there's more on the horizon. How would you do without your phone, without your internet for 3 days? I think a lot of us would say, hallelujah, praise the Lord, right? But on the other hand, how would you really do not having access to communication? You know, it seems very eerie to me that the idea was to get people in groups of 10, no more than 10. They don't even want you in 10. It's just no more than 10. And get into your house, shut the door, and now take away the internet, your source of seeking and communications, and then having no cell phone to communicate with anybody. I'm pretty sure we're still broadcasting right now. I'm going to continue to wait for our friend Don to call back. But imagine internet down, cell phones off, executive orders, you're not to be outside, you cannot be in a group of more than 10. So I praise God right now here in Arkansas, the state of Arkansas. You heard that Rodney Howard Brown was arrested yesterday, turned himself in for violating some rule they have there. So I texted our congressman today. I have a relationship with our congressman, Steve Womack, and I asked him, what's the real deal? Are we allowed to gather as a house of worship or not? And I have a health record before me given from another friend of mine, Richie, that confirmed what the congressman brought out. And that is, here in Arkansas, houses of worship are exempt. Now, I want you to think about this. Houses of worship, construction areas, workers are exempt. All we're being told to do, if you meet in 10,000 people in your church, don't touch each other. Practice social distancing. But it has said nothing about 10 or more. The churches are exempt. So why would they exempt churches? Do they want to kill them? Do they all want us to get coronavirus? Or are they thinking that, well, we're a house of worship and we're a people of faith and this is not an issue for us? Why would that be? And people were telling us that we were doing the wrong thing by gathering together at different times when we were. And they were saying, you know, you shouldn't do that, right? And we couldn't understand why. Why aren't you? I mean, you're the church. And we just couldn't understand. The Bible says in the last days, do not forsake the gathering of yourselves together, as is the manner of some, especially as you see the day approaching. So it's just interesting to me if people are very concerned about, you know, this thing spreading. And yet here in Arkansas, we as Christians have a right and are exempt from that law. Very, very interesting. So what is going on? We're not really sure. And Don, if you're out there, call in anytime. We'd love to hear from you. And I want to make sure that we're still broadcasting live. I'm pretty sure that we are. And these are the thoughts that are going on in my heart today. Okay. Psalm 91, COVID-19. Reversed is COVID-91. The Mercy ship pulled into the New York Harbor last night and is docking in Pier 91. Psalm 91. You need to get it. You need to download it. It needs to become a reality in your life because it's going to happen. It's going to happen. The pestilence will come. The arrows will come. The destruction will come. It's coming. The president of the United States keeps confirming Isaiah 47:11. Where did this come from? We can't put it off. The next step is the disaster. President Trump yesterday, in a conversation, who grew up in Queens, New York, was telling everybody, I used to live there. I know that hospital. He was talking about a particular hospital. He said, I could tell you the size of the windows, the color of that hospital. I know it very well, he said. Now that I go by it and I see body bags everywhere and the hospital is overwhelmed and we have to call for ICE trucks so that the bodies could be put on ICE because there's not enough to get the dead bodies out of the hospital. He said that yesterday. The war room, Steve Bannon, went through and showed the clip and all the things that were said by the president. Body bags, hospitals being overwhelmed, a crisis in New York. The same New York whose governor wanted to slaughter innocent babies at full term. Okay, just keep that in mind. Virginia, New York, Washington, Oregon, California, these liberal states who are having the biggest problems, they're the ones that wanted to murder innocent babies, overwhelm the Constitution, undermine it, break it down, take Second Amendment rights from the people of this country. They're the ones that are just going through this more than anybody else, quite frankly. Is it a righteous judgment of God upon New York? New York, the blasphemous New York, and the blasphemous governor in New York who has spoken against the Lord and sought to promote laws contrary to the laws of life and liberty and the pursuit of happiness, and more importantly, the laws of God. You tell me, why New York? Why Virginia? Why Oregon, Washington? Why Detroit? Why these liberals that hate the president of the United States? Why are they being overwhelmed with this virus? Well, it's something that we need to examine, I believe. And so now comes, as Brother Don said, the bitter harvest. The bitter harvest. And so then, how shall we live? End time plagues are happening all over the world. This is what I wrote for our preparation for today's broadcast today. 3 days of darkness and the end times. What is the Bible saying? What is the Spirit saying? End time plagues are happening all over the world at the same time. Now, 3 days of darkness are being forecasted, and all believers need to be ready to move out to the wilderness. The time of great delusion and deception is at hand, and multitudes are going to be bewildered by the events that are coming and will find it hard to stand, realizing that they are still here and did not fly away in a pre-tribulation rapture. This is going to create great distress and anguish as the great tribulation arrives. Be ready for events that will shake the world and remain on the right side of this moment with faith and love in your hearts. That is the admonition. Faith and love in your hearts. And I also want to say this. We cannot afford to be purposefully distracted by world events to ignore the more important things in our lives. What do I mean by that? Sometimes when things are really bad in our lives or things we're not content with or happy with, we look outside of that and for something to distract us because we don't know how to fix it. We don't know why it's broken or we just don't want to deal with it, i.e. relationships. You know, people are having struggles with relationships today. Marriages are having difficulty in their relationship. And I just want to be an advocate right now and say, don't allow these crises that are going on to distract you from what is most important to you. The most important thing to you in your life, if you're married, is your marriage. So deal with it. Get it worked out. Get it done right. And if you're in a relationship that is broken or struggling, you don't know how to fix it, don't turn away from it and become distracted because you could get swept away in the morbidity of this. No, deal with your heart. Get your heart. I'll get my heart. You get your heart. I'll get my relationship. You get your relationship intact with people in the body of Christ. There are, you know what's happening right now? It used to be the thing that divided us was the pre-trib rapture, once saved, always saved. Christians can't have demons. There are no apostles and prophets. The Holy Spirit doesn't work anymore. The doctrine of cessationism. These things divided us. You know what the new division is? You're going to church during the coronavirus pandemic? Shame on you. You're not going to gather together because of the coronavirus? Shame on you. So the new division is the plague that is here. We need, I'm telling you, we need to work these things out in the body of Christ. If there is no pre-tribulational rapture and our brothers and sisters are found wanting in these days because they haven't prepared because they were told not to worry about it, well, we need to assist them so that they don't drown and fall away. We don't want to see our brothers and sisters drown in perdition and fall away and lose their love. There's no reason. I just want to impart this to you. There's no reason, no affording, there's no allowance right now for our love to cool down. What does it mean to allow your love to cool down? Well, in a marriage, the most important relationship that shows us what it's like between Christ and the church in Ephesians 5, marriage is likened unto our relationship with Christ. Love cannot cool down. When love cools down, it means that you reason out somehow why you're not going to continue to love. You can't do that. Don't do it. It's a dangerous thing to allow love to cool down right now because the love of many will wax cold. It's going to cool off. Don't let that happen in your life. That's all I want to say about that. There are relationships that need to be mended. There are relationships that need to be healed in the body of Christ. There has been a outward acceptance of one another, but inwardly a rejection. There has been the outward facade of, you know, hey, I love you and all this, but in heart, it's not that way. This is the time to work this out. This is a time for exposure. This is the time where the wheat and the tares are being divided. As I shared with a friend of ours late last night, remember in the harvest, well, you know, during the time before the harvest, the wheat and the tares, you can't recognize who's who. But in the harvest, the way that the farmer knows the difference between the wheat and the tares is the tares stand straight up. The wheat bows. You see, it's humility, it's brokenness. And if we're not there in our hearts, it means we have a hardened heart, and that's not healthy in the days that we are living in. It's just not healthy. And I think Christians, we need to be confessing the condition of our hearts. We need to be looking at our hearts, not at the things going on in the world, because remember in Psalm 91, we could actually be careless about what's going on out there because we're in the protective hedge, in the castle of God, right? But while we're in the castle, we need to get our salvation worked out. We need to get our hearts cleaned up before God. We need to labor to get this done somehow so And I think a lot of times, and maybe speaking to men right now, a lot of times men are frustrated because they don't know how to fix what's broken. Sometimes Christian, godly men are in relationships or in situations, they don't know how to father their children properly, and they're frustrated because they see the brokenness, but they don't know how to fix it. Don't let that turn your heart away. Don't let that. Keep asking God to show you. He's your father. Maybe your father didn't show you how to deal with issues properly. Maybe your marriage is broken. Maybe your family is broken. Maybe relationships in your church are broken. Maybe you're broken. Maybe that's the reality. You're just broken. You want to serve God, but you're broken. You want to do what is right, but you're broken. Your marriage isn't working. It's not tender, loving, and the tones of it are not glorious and beautiful. And you're frustrated, man. You just don't know how to fix it. You have a Father in heaven. The Holy Spirit will be your counselor. He will show you how to fix it. Ladies, women of God, women of faith, you're in a problem in your relationship with your husbands. Remember, win them without a word spoken. Hallelujah. I don't know. I don't know. But that's what the word says. In other words, what I'm communicating is don't you get all messed up with your husband's inability to fix things. Pray for him. Communicate with him. God will give you the answers. God will show you how to do it. God will show you how to fix this, and God will heal your own brokenness. Don't become broken with him. You godly women out there, you godly sisters, learn patience with your husbands, especially if they're trying, okay? And if there's an issue, I'm telling you, just pray for them. Because what I have found in 28 years of pastoral counseling in marriages, and what I've learned in my own life through the years, that men are usually frustrated who actually do love their wives, who actually do love their family, their children, who actually do want to do it right, but there's a brokenness for some reason, and they're frustrated and angry and upset about when things break down, because they men get things to a certain place where it's just right. Okay, I fixed the door. It's just right. I got it the best I could, but then it breaks again. And they don't like that brokenness. They're frustrated because they don't know how to fix it. Maybe you're in a relationship. You just don't know how to fix it. It's broken. You're broken still. You've got to employ the power, and I have to employ the power of the Holy Spirit. This is how we do this. Because this heart condition, the frustration with your children, with your parents, with your spouse, with your church family, is more important to deal with than this thing that's going on in the world right now. I'm telling you the truth. Because if we don't address the condition of our hearts, we're not going to be able to handle what's coming, no matter what's being said. We got to get this worked out. We just have to. It's the most important thing I can imagine right now that needs to be worked out in our lives as Christian people. And yet the day is coming like a locomotive. It's coming down the tracks. We are seeing prophecy being fulfilled everywhere. What has been prophesied shall be. I want to give opportunity to our friends out there. As I said, I'm going a little extra time today. And if you're wanting to call into the broadcast right now, you certainly can. We would love to hear from the voice of many waters. Maybe you have something you'd like to share, something you'd like to put out there. Let's take this first call coming in from 479-855. Good morning. God bless you. Welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Good morning, Pastor. How are you doing this morning, sir?
I am blessed and highly favored and overcoming in the name of Jesus. Good morning to you. How are you?
We are blessed. Praise the Lord. Looking forward to the prayer group we're going to be having at the house tonight and covering the same areas that you're covering this morning. Praise the Lord for that. You're right on the money. Right on the money. But I'd like to interject maybe one or two things that people kind of have overlooked. And, you know, there's such a prevalent attitude of fear that's going out there, going on among the people. you know, you've given us a lot of scriptures and a lot of good insight as to what we should be doing. But is that fear becoming the overwhelming thing that is stopping people from doing what they should do, for praying, to coming and having the faith in the Lord God, our, you know, all of his word, the things that he says? I mean, I look at fear on here. Jesus in Mark 4:40 comes right out and says, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And not that again, but when you get into really the element of trust, you know, I look at Psalm 18:2, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust. Where is that trust? Where is that faith? Are we allowing fear to overcome all these things and put us into danger because we have not believed the word of the Lord? And when you talk about it in Psalms 91 on here, in verse 7, when it talks about the pestilence, it says, but it shall not come near you. Verse 10, it says that there is no evil or adversity, calamity, distress, grief, harm, sadness, sorrow shall befall you, nor shall any plague, any acute, malignant, and contagious disease that could infect us, calamity or natural evil of any kind. And these are all out of the Strong's Concordance on there. None of them shall come near you. The word of God is really prevalent on this and speaks the whole truth. But are we allowing and harboring fear, which will bring about some of these things because we're not believing in the word of the Lord? That's the key synopsis, what I see happening on all these things. And even to back that up, I've got a lot of other scriptures tonight that I wanted to use too, on the promises of God, what he says about the things that are coming down. One more thing. The 2 Chronicles 20, verse 9, it says, if disaster comes upon you, the sword, the judgment, the pestilence, or famine, we will stand before this temple, or the word of God, and in your presence, for your name is in this temple, and cry out to you in our affliction, and you will hear and save. That's what, you know, there's a bunch of other promises, but we've got to get rid of that fear. We've got to have the trust in the Lord and know that he has the ability to take us out and overcome all these things.
You know, that's an excellent exhortation, Pastor Ken Wagner. And the Bible says that the sinners are afraid in Zion. And I think sometimes the reason why people are afraid is because they are aware, because the Holy Spirit has revealed it to them, that there are issues in their life that are not cleaned up before the Lord. They have not taken their sins to the cross. They have not confessed their sin and repented from their sin. And therefore, as they have continued in a conduct, in a characteristic, in whatever it is that deeply bothers them, now these times come and they feel afraid, because fear always is accompanied with sin. When Adam and Mrs. Adam partook of the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil, they became afraid. They hid from God. So there's a lot of fear because the gospel that has been preached in the world has been a lukewarm gospel. It has been an impotent gospel. It has been a mixed gospel, a watered-down gospel, a feel-good gospel. There's been no penetrating power to bring conviction of sin so that confession and repentance would come, so that the conscience could be clear. Now we could stand. Oh, but the hypocrites, the Bible says, the hypocrites, the pretenders, when these days come, are going to strip away that facade, and it's all going to be revealed to the light. Hypocrisy of thinking that I could deal with these days, but I've never confessed and repented of my sin, that's going to be dealt with very strongly. And of course, those who are operating in willful sin, this is a tough day for a lot of people. And so the fear of the Lord, and what I hear you saying, is the beginning of wisdom.
Oh, you're right on about that one. There's no two ways about it. You know, we've got so many promises of God that, you know, I could sit here all morning for an hour going through every one of the things that God has said within his promises for each and every one of us. But they're all conditional upon our love for him and our ability to overcome the fear and to believe his word and trust in him. Until we have that, we're in trouble. no matter what comes down, like you talked about, some of the calamities that are forthcoming, that Don was talking about as well, we can let that fear overwhelm us and we can become useless. We can sit there like a bowl of jelly and just shake and not know what to do and where to go. But when we have the Word of God and we can stand on that Word and we can believe it, God will overcome all things through us.
Well, amen to that, Pastor Ken. There's no doubt you're right on track here. And so that's going to be one awesome Bible study tonight. Good for you. God bless you. And thank you for calling and sharing those thoughts. And that Bible study, I know here in Northwest Arkansas, begins at 7 o'clock. And I don't know if you want to let people know where you're going to be or not. But for those that will gather together, I'm sure they're going to have an amazing time. Amen.
Oh, I've got no problem doing that because I've been talking to some of the people. I handed out over 30 flyers already on here, just in the neighborhood, and it's going to be at my house at 11100 Wildwood Way. The mailing address is Gravette, Arkansas. It's about halfway between Centerton and Gravette. So, but the house is open. It's welcome to all who want to come because we want to pray. We want to defeat this disease organism by believing in the Word of God and having the strength of God in each and every individual. That's why we're opening up our home. We're not afraid of that virus because I have the faith in God to stand and believe and know that His truths are true and we can overcome all things through Christ who strengthens us. Yeah, there's another thought that just came to me too on here. You know, we used to sing a song all the time. Whose report are you going to believe? And for me and my household, we will believe the report of the Lord.
Amen. Well said. Great exhortation. Good pastoral ministry. God bless you, Pastor Ken. And I wish you great success with brand new people that you have met, that you went out, you were diligent, and you are bringing brand new people into your Bible study that you know, are just getting to know you, and I wish you great success with them, absolutely, in your home with brand new people. God bless you, my brother. We'll talk to you soon. Shalom, and hallelujah. Pass the ammunition, right?
Amen. Thank you, Pastor.
God bless you, brother. Shalom. All right. So what we've been doing in New Wine Ministry, by the way, is we have been raising up the fivefold ministry. That's our job. We know we can't do it. The Holy Spirit does it through us, but we have been encouraging different couples within our ministry that God has put His hand upon to go and begin Bible studies in their homes. We have a vision for home fellowships. In the 1990s, Patricia and I, my wife Patricia and I, we started home fellowships all across this country, from New Jersey to California. And it was, I believe, a preview of what God wants us to be doing right now. Patricia and I would love nothing more than to travel this country and start home fellowships. We want home fellowships because we believe that God has revealed to us that in these last days it would be in the homes. I've shared that vision many times. Now the churches were shut down. And I'm telling you, this is all God. It's all been God. It's been real. It's been validated. It's really God. If you want to start a home fellowship in your area, we would love to come and assist you in doing that. We would actually come and you gather the people together and we will do it. In our ministry, we don't want people from New Wine Ministries going to these other Bible studies. Like Pastor Ken and Peggy are getting ready to start their Bible study, but it's not for New Wine Ministries. It's for people they're reaching out to so that they can begin to do the work that God has called them to do. So we have an order how we're doing things, and we want to see Pastor Ken and Peggy blessed as they're inviting people that were not connected to New Wine Ministries, but are inviting people in their neighborhood or wherever they meet them on the streets to come to their Bible study. We want that blessed. We want to see their calling begin to manifest. And as that home Bible study grows, it is connected. It's out from New Wine Ministries. And so we are just doing what the gospel said to do, to raise up elders in every city, to have worship from house to house. I mean, it's a vision. And we've had this vision for a very long time. So I'm very happy to hear that Pastor Ken and Peggy have invited people outside of our ministry to go to that Bible study, and out of it should grow their own ministry. If you want that to happen in your neck of the woods, if you want a home fellowship, Patricia and I were anointed by God to do it in the 1990s. We've learned a lot. We know in the last days that this is the vision that God has given us. So we're here. We're ready to work until the nighttime comes when you cannot work. Right now, we could still work. We would love to be, I don't care, RV, whatever, traveling the country, starting home fellowships. If you want that, if we can assist you, let me know. I'm giving you a text number right now. You could text me, and you could, by the way, there's something up on the screen. My friend Daryl put this together. If anybody out there loves this ministry and wants to give to it, you could actually text this number that's on the screen if you're looking at Omega Radio or the Facebook or YouTube, 410-88-OMEGA. So if you're listening right now and you have a smartphone and you can text, you could give to this ministry directly by going to 410-88-OMEGA, 410-88-OMEGA. Now, if you want to contact me, if you need to talk to me, there are so many ways you could do that. You could text me, you could email me, you know where we're at. You could find us very easily. Waiting for your call. Would love to hear from you. Right now, the number to call is 818-369-0326. If you have a question, comment, you want to add to this conversation, 818-369-0326. So Brother Daryl has put this together where you could now give directly. There's no middle person. You give directly by texting 410-88-OMEGA. And then when you get there, just type in give, and it'll direct you to how to actually give. If it's in your heart to do it, if you love this ministry, want to support it financially. So with that being said, we're still waiting for your call. The number is 818-369-0326. Now, what I'll do is, while we're waiting for calls, is I'll go ahead and let's recapsule everything that we talked about today. The number one thing, Psalm 91, it is imperative for your mind. It's imperative for your soul to have faith in that message. COVID-19 backwards is 91. The mercy ship that left Virginia that's going into the harbors of New York is docking at Pier 91. God is speaking to us about Psalm 91. We also realize that difficult days are ahead. For some, they've already been difficult. Hospitals are overflowing with dead bodies. The president said that yesterday. Something on the order of disaster, according to 47:11, Isaiah 47:11, which has been confirmed. They will not be able to put it off. It's confirmed. The month of April, I believe, and I've said for a while now, somewhere between April 3rd and 5th, be careful. Others are saying the month of April throughout the entire month, be careful. They're separating people in many places. They may shut down the internet. They may shut down your cell phone. If you're in your home and you have no communications, you need to make sure that you have the ability to get through some harsh days, because next, if Ezekiel 14, God's righteous judgment and what he reveals, remember the Apostle Paul said to the Church of Corinth, read the prophetic words of the Old Testament because you're going to find out how God does things. If it's true, Ezekiel 14, you can expect war to break out. And my friend earlier said this in one of our comments. This was David saying in a comment, this came from another gentleman from John Moore, said World War III is imminent. Russians from the north, China from the south, El Salvador president preparing now. Strike when we're down. Well, we're down right now. Okay, so that's more conversation of what's going on. Let's take this call coming in from 479-903. Good morning. God bless you. Welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Good morning, Pastor. This is such a wonderful program. It's a beautiful morning. I just like to say that there's so much that you have said that bears witness within my spirit. And one of them is what Pastor Ken just voiced is fear. I believe the events that are coming in are truly exposing the hearts of men, and within the church as well, the position of, do you have the earthly, fleshly fears still in your heart? And I look at this, all events that are happening, is God is revealing it to us, because judgment begins in the house of God. That's what the word says. That he's saying, okay, look at you. You voice that you love me, but you honor me with your lips, but your heart is far away, and what's in your heart will keep you away from me, and you will be affected by the things that are coming upon the earth. So what he's doing through this all, if we really look at it, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, he's drawing the people to attention to get into a place of confession and repentance. And basically the Father is saying, hey, you guys, you need to duck. Basically duck, start getting low into your spirit with the promises that I have for you, but yet in a spirit of humility. So all these events are coming in through the outside. We call them waves. We talked about them. The first wave being the COVID-19. Now this other wave is starting to bring fear up to the surface. And the best thing that the enemy can do to control people is through fear. What you just said prior to me calling about the El Salvadorian president saying we're going to strike, I heard the Spirit of God speak to me just a few days ago that he's going to strike. That, in other words, I go, you're going to strike. And I pondered that, and it meant another stripe is coming down on this nation, meaning back to that parable, it says that one that didn't know what to do received a few stripes, but him that knew what to do and didn't do it received many stripes. Country, founded on the foundation of the Word of God, has gone backward. They know what to do, but they're rejecting it. And so what's happened now God's hand is coming down through this process of putting another stripe on the nation of America. So we have to really repent. And my concern for the body of Christ is really, in this point, is, and for the all people, that we should be paying attention to this and really looking and examining our heart. You know, we could voice out of our mouth, oh, you know, we got God on our side. We have this, we can honor him with our lips, but if we got something in our heart, like you just said, in our heart that is obstructive and keeping them from coming from him fully into a place of holiness, that's what he wants. He wants holiness right now. He wants a sanctified people to be called out. And when I just said called out, the reason why these events are happening too is that if our hearts are in the mess, in the fear, in the earthly fears, and not in the fear of the Lord, that means we're not in a good place. That means we need to come out of something. We need to come out of the way we're thinking. I believe we need to come out of the way maybe we're touching the system that is unclean. He's moving a people forward. And the forwardness, this is the fire by night, okay? We're heading to dark, but this is the fire by night where there's like, unbelievers are getting slammed, but the church is getting, and so, but yet in our hearts of hearts that we know this, our heart is because of our Father's heart, that he doesn't desire anybody to perish, but all come to repentance. Now that word repentance means change of mind. I'm going to have to go back to the time when 9/11 hit, where everybody in New York City filled the churches. And then all of a sudden, 6 months later, they were empty. Well, this events that are happening, it's going to be a continuous repentance, continuous hit, one after the other, to draw a full repentance. Now, we know in the Bible that some are going to submit to this, and others, their hearts are going to be hardened even more and more, and they're going to resist it. And that's a shame. But right now, I think the biggest cry in my heart for all of us is to examine what the Holy Spirit is doing in our lives. That's the most important thing out inside of us. And what's happening outside is just the result of the sin nature. But what's most important, that we are standing before our Father with the absolute work that he has done, that we're revealing and we're confessing and we're repenting. And yet we are rejoicing that we are being made whole in our sin. If there is any, it's being revealed. Therefore, we will not be washed away with that big falling away from the faith. But we're standing strong. We know in our heart, but in our spirit, man, that we are overcomers, and that's what we've been called to do. But that's what I wanted to say to you, Pastor, and to all those that are listening. That's the cry of my heart, that we really need to stand before our Father in holiness, and also to understand that this wave after wave after wave after wave is coming. It's not going to stop. It's not going to stop, and people won't be able to take a breather. It's going to be moving so fast that people won't be able to breathe in between each event. They're going to have to make a choice. They have to make a decision. It's either in the light or stay in the darkness. And I hope and pray that if people are in the darkness, that they will reach out to the marvelous light that's in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, to go to when he says, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. So he's pointing out, this is the way. And the way is to get out of the system, the Babylonian system, and all those things that he says are ready to fall.
Heavy words. Michael, thank you so much for calling into the broadcast today. Michael is one of the watchmen that sits with me at KERM Radio, along with Pastor Ken Wagner. Michael is also a pastor with a prophetic anointing on his life. And the three of us, every Sunday morning, sit down at KERM Radio, and Michael, when he starts prophesying and the prophetic comes on him, there's nothing like it I've ever seen. So between Pastor Ken, Brother Michael, Pastor Michael, Prophet Michael, and myself, it's been quite a day. There's been a lot said. Brother Don from Indiana got cut off. He got distracted. He is a security guard right now. He spoke some incredible things. Make sure that you share this broadcast with as many as you will. It's no longer smoke and mirrors. It never has been for us. It's no more pretension. It never has been for us. We're in it. And you just heard wave after wave. It's not going away. They're not being able to put it off. What is your reality? Psalm 91. COVID-19 backwards is COVID-91. The mercy ship that came into the New York Harbor and is docking in Pier 91. God is speaking. Are we listening? Do we have ears to hear? Hearts to understand? Come on. God loves you. Jesus Christ loves you with all of his heart. We need the mercy of God to descend like dew, to soften our hearts. I tell you, this is important. I'll be back on the air tomorrow with Brother Daniel Seckham. As long as we have internet, as long as we have the ability to broadcast, we will. And when it's time to shut down the shop, come off the rooftop and enter into the house or go wherever the wilderness is, we will do it. In the interim, I want to thank you for tuning into the broadcast. I want to thank you for joining us today. Thank you. I just wanted to give you so much to think about, to pray about, to stand in. It's an amazing, adventurous time. It's an adventurous time. The idea of getting on a major roller coaster, it's like the anticipation. Don't confuse that with fear. I mean, the anticipation of what's going on right now. I'm getting ready to go on this massive journey, but it's anticipation. We're there. Have you prepared? Are you okay? If you need help, we're here to pray with you. We had a woman call in. Or a friend of ours, it's a pastor in the local area. His name is Pastor Rocky Sprague. Pastor Rocky's wife, Bridget, was given hours to live 2 weeks ago. They told us about it. We, along with other ministries, started praying for Bridget. They gave her hours. Her liver was shutting down. She's doing well today. She's live. 2 weeks later, she's come back to life again. If you need prayer, if you need help for anything, you need deliverance, you need to get demons cast out of you, I want you to listen to the Omega Radio coming up right now on omegaradio.org, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. But right now, a deliverance roundtable discussion. And if you need deliverance, Patricia is offering her book to anybody that needs it, especially those who would be willing to support this ministry. I just showed you how. And be blessed today. OmegaRadio.org right now, a roundtable discussion. I'm Pastor Vince. I'll see you tomorrow. God bless. Shalom, everybody.